lifestyle. Sports cards and we live now.
Jeremy Lee in the building and every guest that you ever needed. Sports cards after hours keep the hobby heated. Updates, hobby talk like you never seen it. Sports cards live and none could ever beat it.
Sports cards is a lifestyle. Sports cards and we live now.
Welcome to another episode of Sports Cards Live with your host, Jeremy Lee.
All right, everybody, here we go. Welcome to episode number 223 of Sports Cards Live. It is Saturday night, April the 13th, 2024. My name is Jeremy Lee, and I would like to thank everybody who tuned in last week for our After Hours episode, and a hello to everybody who is listening on podcast. Next Saturday on the show, our guest is the pre-expo, the Toronto Expo preview episode. We got Mikey Singer coming on. We've got the Sports Card Cartel, and we've got Sam Genova joining us to talk about and get excited for the expo. Looking forward to that. I'd like to ask you all to download the Center Stage app on iOS and Android for quick and accurate comps, card identification, and they just launched their marketplace. So please join me in supporting the great team they have and the innovation they are undertaking. Also, use protection, practice safe swaps. VeriSwap is an app and middleman service that lets you securely trade cards through the mail, insured up to $1 million. Download the VeriSwap app on iOS and Android and join me and VeriSwap founder Raymond Lee every so often on Instagram Live, where we do the trade desk and we go over some of the recent trades on the VeriSwap platform. Also, Filth Bomb Breaks offers live case and box breaks. They do so with responsibility and integrity. If you enjoy group breaks and are looking for a professional company to break with, check out Filth Bomb Breaks on Fanatics Live on 4 channels, 7 days a week. I want to shout out hobbynewsdaily.com. Check that out for daily hobby information and news. And Leighton Sheldon and Just Collect, unfortunately, no vintage spotlight tonight, but Leighton will hopefully be back next week. Also, I want to thank all of our loyal viewers and listeners. And if you're not yet subscribed to the YouTube channel or the podcast, please take a moment and do so. And let's get to it. Tonight's guest, everybody, started in the hobby in 1987 when his mother would buy him a pack of Garbage Pail Kids every day after work. These soon became football, baseball, basketball packs, and he's never left the hobby. In 2010, he started making cleaning formulas. And then in 2018, he formally started Kurt's Card Care. His favorite players of all time are Tom Brady, Jackie Robinson, Willie Mays, and Michael Jordan. His favorite teams of all time are Michigan Wolverines football and the Detroit Pistons. He's originally from Ann Arbor, Michigan, currently hailing out of Clarkson, Michigan. Let's bring him out. Kurt Colon, welcome to Sports Cards Live. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks for the marvelous introduction, Jeremy. I'm excited now. And you got a cool song for your show and everything, man. I'm freaking jealous.
The song, I have to thank Victory Investments. He's the guy, he's on Instagram. His name is Sean, great guy. He wrote, performed the video, did it all for me. So thank you to Sean, Victory Investments, Kurt. So yeah, man, I mean, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you. I know I've had a lot of people reach out who are excited to see you on the show tonight. Let's just sort of jump right in and get into a bit about your hobby history. I'm going to go to the comments and say hello to everybody shortly. But Kurt, let's just start and kind of, you know, I just gave a bit of a preview. You know, you started getting the packs with your mother after work, but take us a little bit through your hobby history from sort of the beginning until where we are now.
Yeah, you hit on the bullet points, Jeremy, but I was, I'm 42 years old. So I was born in 82. So like at the end of, you know, the 80s is when I started like liking stuff and toys and stuff like that, you know? So like my mom was a treasure hunter. My mom would take me to garage sales all the time and we'd always pick up little things but she would always bring home cards for me. And I quickly, that led to me wanting to draw them. Like I love to draw. And, so Garbage Pail Kids were cool to draw. And then I have a cousin who was a big card collector. And that was my first time being around vintage cards. They weren't that vintage though, right? Because it was the 80s. So like these cards are from the 60s. So they were only like 20 years ago, which is so weird. But I remember he would show me these. And he was like, I didn't know the players because I was a kid. But just the way Chris would talk about them was like brought me in. And then I just started doing like all the rest of us crazy collectors do. Just started like wanting to be around other collectors and wanting to like learn more about the players and buy more cards. And I don't know. Time's a weird thing, dude. I can't believe I'm 42 years old. I feel like I'm like 13 a lot of times. You know what I mean? But, and then I just enjoyed collecting and I enjoyed, I enjoyed it because it was just an escape for me. I lived a totally different life for a long time, and but collecting was always like my like kind of retreat. And you know, that's pretty much the foundation of it. And then just naturally, most people on this show will tune in to know me as the guy that cleans up cards or teaches people how to clean up cards and work on them. I just you know, I collect instruments. I've been a musician my whole life. I collect firearms. I collect memorabilia. My family was owned a body shop and a car dealership, so like we were always into like cool stuff. And then that's what naturally led me into like, how do you take care of old paper, or how do you take care of plastic or foils? And and then you know, I'm just the type of guy that will focus on something, and it, like I'll have to be really good at it or something, like or I'll bail, you know what I mean? So like I just got into cards as a young guy, and I always enjoyed like fixing corners or creases or dirty cards or whatever. But yeah, now it led me to probably why you invited me on your show and why people, you know me now. But pretty unique.
Yeah, you just said why I invited you on. You know, your name's been out there lately. There's no doubt about that. I think you're aware of that. I think most people are aware of that right now. You know, I was listening to Dr. James Beckett's Sports Card Insights podcast just yesterday, and he had Brian Gray on for a two different episodes, because you know his podcast episodes are like 13 to 15 minutes long. And you came up in those episodes a little bit. Nothing, it wasn't positive, it wasn't negative. It was just like, you know, this is going on out there. And so, you know, even Dr. Beckett and Brian Gray, you know, two pillars of the hobby, incumbents of the hobby, are certainly aware of you as well. So yeah, I think the timing is good to have you on. And to, you know, the approach I take with my show, Kurt, is, you know, I'll have all sorts of guests on here, and I like to bring people on and get the audience who's willing to tune in to just, you know, come in a little bit open-minded and get to know the person that is coming on the show. And, you know, with that, as my regular audience knows, like we're not going to tolerate any negativity or disrespect in the chat. So we'll be watching it. I'm just going to ask everybody in the chat to, you know, be respectful. That's about it to me, to my guest, and to the rest of the chat. With that, Kurt, let's say hello. Justin Bode has joined us. Philly Joe is here, looking forward to the episode. Baseball card curmudgeon, what is going on? Jordan Riker says, two hobby goats. I'm not sure about that, Jordan, but thank you very much. Lash Wine is here. Thank you, Sylvan. CMI says, came for Kurt. Foul Five Ball is here. Lapper is here. Lapper is here for sure. CM says, I'm undecided going into this. No worries. You don't have to be decided or undecided. Just come in, listen, and take it all in. Take it all in. Michael Hamm says, what's going on? Fixing one crease at a time. Mookie Chilson, what a booking. Thank you. Travis Trail likes you, Kurt. Chad Shipper, welcome to the show. Really appreciate you being here. Everybody else, Triple V, I love my dirty cards. Very good. Orlando from A Collector's Dream is here. Good to see you, Orlando. Robert Scott, welcome to the show as well. Jordan says, quite an intro. Well, Jordan, you've seen my intros before. That's just how we roll here. Mark Santucci, welcome to the show. Good to see you. Jordan says, a pro sports team should hire me for their player intros. I'd be okay with that. Stooks is in the house. What's going on, Stooks? Good to see you. Frank Gastella is here. The professor is here. Mr. Minty is here. Welcome to the show, Mr. Minty. Travis Trail says, if you don't clean your cards and you don't love them as much as I love mine, definitely a position to take. Lucky K is looking forward to the episode. Justin welcomes you, Kurt, to Sports Cards. I thank you, Justin, for welcoming our guest tonight. Jeff McMahon, hello. Bobby Baseball says, coming in open-minded. Welcome to the show, Bobby Baseball. Jeremy Fowl Fiveball, welcome. Justin Bode again. Okay. I'm going to just sort of skip to the end here. I just want to, again, welcome you guys all to the show. I want to thank Kurt for coming on as well. And I mean, I'm just grateful that you're here, Kurt. And I want to know, how did Kurt's Card Care, the business, really come about? Like, how did you mentioned just before, you know, you like to do things right. You want to clean a card. You want to preserve a card. You want to do it the right way. How did you transform from just doing that for yourself to making a business out of it?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Jeremy. Like, and I'm glad that, you know, people are watching. And it seems like a fun, we're going to have fun tonight. And anybody watching right now, it's not gonna be a commercial, or I'm not trying to sell you on Hertz card here. I'm happy that Jeremy's gonna ask me these questions, you know. So just know that, viewers, it's not gonna be, you know, I'm not gonna tell you why you should or shouldn't. I'll just happy to answer your questions, you know. But like, so how it came about, Jeremy, was I don't know, whatever, everybody's view into the hobby is probably a little bit different. There's people that are consistent, but the thing was, I was always into working, collecting, buying, selling, and trading like everybody else. But I always liked to work on a variety of cards. And by work on was cleaning up the surfaces. Being that I come from a family that owned a body shop and a dealership, taking care of little things was just not like, it was just nothing I ever had to like go out and find. It was there. It was something I did all the time. And so when I started doing that to cards, it started getting noticed. Like I started going, remember when Beckett came out, like card grading came out? Like I know that we're old enough to know that. It was probably like, I don't know, early 2000s when I found Beckett grading cards at card shows. Started seeing slabs. And I was like, oh, well, I got to get a slab now because I love Beckett. You know what I mean? Like, let's get some stuff. So I started sending in cards to get graded, which I was total noob, right? I collected cards, but I'd send them in and I'd get like, I remember I sent a bunch of 86 Fleers in. I got like fives and sixes back. And I was like crushed because I saw these guys at card shows like tens or something. You know, I was like, holy moly, I got a lot to learn. So then I started searching for a company like mine. I figured, you know, like in instruments, you know, you go to a luthier if your guitar is messed up. If you screw up your car, you go to a mechanic or a body shop or whatever. So I'm like looking for card cleaning techniques, card fixing techniques. Nothing. It was like Meguiar Scratch X, Windex, or don't touch it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I don't like those options. I'm like, I just don't think that there's got to be more to this. And I'm pretty good with like cleaning stuff, you know? So like I started just doing all the standard stuff that everybody starts with, starting water, you know, just trying to do stuff. And I was making a little progress, but I was like, I know I could get better at this. So I made my own stuff. I started making formulas, blending card sprays, making polishes, taking like one thing I know that will screw up cards, because I screwed them up when I was using Meguiar's Scratch X. I'd scratch them. Certain foils and vintage cards, you ruin them. And I'm like, I can't do this. This sucks. I don't want to use this anymore. I need to make like a polish. I need to make a formula that I can put on vintage cards, modern cards, and old cards and clean the surface and not rip the plastic off of them or sand them down. Like, that's important to me. And it didn't exist really. So I was like, all right, I made it. So then, what do you know, man? Started getting my cards from the 90s and cleaning up the fronts and not peeling off the plastic or sanding them down. But sure enough, that age stuff is coming off of them. And I was like geeking out, you know what I mean? So like, I'm like, this is so cool. I finally found a tool and I made it and it's good. So, you know, you start doing that with your friends that are collectors and it's like, we all find it exciting. And it was like, oh, this is great. You know, so started doing that locally. And then I would start doing my friends' cards, and then your friends tell friends. Then you go to a show and you meet somebody from Vegas or you meet somebody from Vancouver or whatever, you know what I mean? And, you know, so anyways, you know, you'll meet a lot of people. I started doing all these personal cleanings. So I was like, wow, people really dig this, you know? And so anyways, I would do that. And I got too many people calling me and asked me to work on their cards for them. And at that point, I realized, all right, I'm not the only one that wants to like a safe way to clean their cards, but also I like getting cards graded. So I was like, I don't want to like paint them up or trim them down or sand them up, because like you could physically make a card look really good, right? But I also want to get in a grade, or, you know, be able to send it to, you know, get to one of my favorite companies, PSA or BGS or whatever it may be. And so that was like my goal. That was like my focus. Like, I want to be able to clean stuff up, restore it, get it back to its original condition. I'm not into coloring cards. I'm not into trimming cards. I'm not into sanding them down. I want to be able to like make some smart stuff that's safe to use on the stuff I like to collect. I made it all for me, man. It was just for me. And then the customers kept me real busy. And then I got real good at it because I was working on cards like every day. And then it was probably not even 3-4 weeks, maybe into the pandemic, where literally my phone was like ringing. Whenever we got into cards or something, all of a sudden, you know, the pandemic seemed to bring out cards, right? So all of a sudden, like, I'm getting phone calls like, man, can we send you 500 cards? All this. I'm like, no, that's not even what I do. I'm like, that's no. I'm walking around with my wife. Our other jobs are like in the air because we don't even know what the heck's going on. And I'm like, well, at least I, you know, the collecting community likes to have their cards prepped, but I'm like, I can't do it all day, every day. Then I had guys saying, hey, Kurt, if you can't do all my cards, can you just make me like a demonstration or a video? And I'm like, I'll show you everything I do. So then I started making it. So if you watch my early videos, you know, they're just, it's just me sitting here with this, my phone on, just talking, you know, and showing off the stuff, how I'm doing it. And I made the Instagram page and I thought it was just going to be, I don't know. I didn't think people, I knew it was cool, but I didn't even know how many people would really care. You know, like I thought just a handful of people were just like, yeah, we just like to work on our cards, whatever. And it totally caught on. You know, I had a lot of people reaching out to me from all over the world, all over the place going, I've been always searching for something to work on to clean my cards. I don't want to go to the dark side or do anything wrong or mess them up. I still want to get them graded. I still want to like, I don't want to do too much, but there's got to be a simple way to do this. And I was like, I'm onto something. I knew that other people have these thoughts, but there was never like a clear way to like, there was no like steps or videos. So like I built Kurt's Card Care the way I wish somebody would have built it. So like when I was a customer, I could have found something like this that was like, hey, what do you collect? Hey, how do you, what's fixable and what's not? What should I not do? What should I, you know what I mean? I was like, I was really would appreciate a mentor because like you can find a great guitar guy that will teach you everything. You'll find a great auto mechanic that will teach you everything, painter, whatever. A lot of people will train you how to do trades, but there was nobody that would train me. So I just focused and just worked on this like an annoying amount of time, you know, and it's fun and it's a cool story. And it's a cool that we can do this for a living now. It's a job. But I tell you what, my wife put up with a lot of this for a long time, you know, but that's how it really got started. So like when the, but when I told people, hey, I can't do this, I'm just flooded. I'm too busy with this. Let me teach you. Sure enough, guys were like, show me how to do it, man. I'll do it. And that was really what took it to like right the second.
So do you and your wife have other jobs right now, or is it Kurt's Card Care full out?
This is our job, 8 days a week, 3 shifts a day, you know, and we now have, sorry, I'm going to drop my phone so we don't get any distractions, but it's more than our full-time jobs. We have 5 employees that work for us here in production. I have another couple employees that work with me on the digital side of things. We've had to really embrace being full-blown entrepreneurs and really just making a living. You know, the market has spoke, you know, and we're here to respond. And that's really pretty much what we've done full time for the past several years.
Yeah. Okay. No, interesting. It's really turned into a full of business, employees and all that. So that's, you know, you're employing people. That's certainly a good thing, I would say. I want to go to a couple comments that have come in. Philly Joe says, you know, I want to hear that no trimming, no coloring, no adding paper, etc. And I want to get into a conversation with you a little bit later, Kurt, about like, you know, what are the differences between preservation, restoration, alteration, and card care. But let's get to that shortly. Luigi has a quick question. Can I use Kurt's Card Care on PMGs, on precious metal gems? Can you respond to that?
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Yep, it's a FLIR metal card. And my only thing, Luigi, is be careful around the edges of those cards. They're the most wildly awesome, valuable card that like FLIR made in like the 90s. I'm assuming you're talking about 90s basketball or 90s yeah. FLIR. If not, you know, they make Marvel ones and stuff like that. So you could always message me directly. Anybody can message me directly. I always reply, you know, but like we're talking the basketball, sure. But don't poke around on this goes for any card collector out there working on their cards. If you see missing paint around the corners or edges, take that as a sign that says, don't touch me, you know, yeah. So don't mess with that.
So Kurt's Card Care is a business. What exactly do you offer? What exactly can people and again, like you said, this isn't a commercial for Kurt's Card Care, but I'm curious. I think people would like to know, what is Kurt's Card Care? What are you selling? What are you offering?
Yeah, like I make 3 products and I have a million ideas, you know? So like I make, I should be more prepared. I'm not the best salesman in the world, but like, all right. So for example, most collectors will recognize this. This is made exactly because this is how I made my first one. It's always worked for me, so I've always stuck with it. I kick it old school when it comes to like my tools. But I make a card. If you guys ever see any of my videos where I'm using a little wand and cleaning up cards, I make a card polish for surfaces, and they're good at making a card clean. You know, like there's a lot of stuff that builds up on cards over the years. Card spray, I use this for a lot of cool stuff, from getting, like today I'm doing some practices, like I'm putting autographs on Bowman Chrome cards and ink and stuff like that. And, you know, like, believe it or not, you guys, there's people will forge autographs on cards, you know, try to sell them for more money, and a collector will get stuck with something stupid like this. But if you need to wipe off the autograph or something, there's ways, you know. So spray is cool for like removing, not like unwanted ink mainly, but like dirt, grime, junk, stuff that just builds up on cards over the years. I love vintage cards. And it's like, this is where, you know, it's a big buzz thing. That's like, I'll, you know, get a card wet, soak a card, you know, frankly, it's the only way I know how to get a bunch of old dirt out of a piece of cardboard that's been soaking in dirt and atmosphere for 70 years. You know what I mean? So the card spray that, but probably something very simple, but very helpful that I use more than anything is this thing. So like this, you guys, I simply call it the card tool. And this right here is a something so I told you earlier, I like to draw, right? So I also, for years when I was younger, I'd always like to use the back of my thumbnail or my finger if I had like an edge or a corner out of place. I'm sure every collector, right, is like, see that little edge and like, oh, it's flatten this thing out or whatever. Well, it's not the best way to go about it. So what I did was just had doweling that I like the size of, and have a nice firm piece of vinyl clear tubing. So like I can see through it and I can see what I'm doing and just make a little touch point on edges and corners. And this little guy is like awesome. So paper collectors, vintage collectors, I know it looks simple and you're like, what the heck is that thing? It's just a little extension to like kind of get edges and corners back in place. So that's that. So that's the stuff I make. So then here's my biggest concern, Jeremy, is people get something and they don't know how to use it. Or they get something and they're like, man, you know, I just don't know how to use it. Or they quit, or they go out and like don't have enough information, mess stuff up. Those would be like my highest forms of motivation is owning a business like this. So the way I can calm down my never ending like voice is to make as many video demonstrations possible on a variety of cards from start to finish, uncut, so people can watch it, make their own decisions, whatever those are, and learn how to work on a card or not. You know, so I try to make every single scenario. And then if there's scenarios that you guys have watched, you're like, well, I don't see him doing this or that. There's a ton of stuff you can't do, you guys. Sometimes I think the my company lately has been getting a lot more mentions and a lot more. I have to dial people back. They're like, I heard, man, I just got to put this stuff on my card and it turns into a 10. No, you know, no, I wish it was that easy. It's not, that's not the case. But, you know, there is a large variety of small blemishes and little things that you can fix without, like we said, without sanding, coloring, trimming a card. That stuff never turned me on. It just seemed bush league, seemed easy, seemed like a hack. So I just always avoided stuff like that. So few products, tons of teaching. That's where I'm at, man.
Okay. So I want to ask you this, because you're talking about the polish, you've got the spray, which are concoctions. They are formulas that you've devised over time. There were some questions in the chat asking, you know, how long did it take you, or how many iterations of those products have you been through? You know, how long did it take you to get to where you've gotten with those products? And did you ruin any cards along the way? Ooh. And can your product as it is right now, if used properly, and by that I mean in accordance with your direction, can it still ruin cards?
Great question. So you asked me a lot there. So let's dial it down. All right. So the first point was, take me back, because you said a lot of good stuff there. But what was you started off with, people in the comments are saying, how long did it take you to develop this? A long time. I'll tell you that. Like, I don't have an exact count, but like, I would say, do you know that like this looks easy? That this is a mind bender. Like I needed something. I didn't want to make three different sprays. That'd be easy for me. I could make three and it's like pick, then it's so freaking confusing. I needed something that you could soak cards with and work on all styles of cards with. So card spray took a long time, especially to show you all the stuff I do with it. Card polish, this was a hard, tricky one, because you guys, when I was from a kid all the way through my teens, when we worked at the body shop, we'd make waxes, sprays, polishes, compounds, all kinds of stuff for automotive purposes. So the hard part is making something like this. I had to take out heavy like mineral oils, binding agents, colors, scents, abrasives. So like all my first like rounds of this stuff was like mush. It was just like applesauce. I could never get it to stay together. So like a ton, and like, but then by like, again, I wasn't making it for a business either, Jeremy. I was making it for myself, you know? So I just like, keep on going. I take me a couple months before I could even get something to stick like together and stay together without all the stuff I took out of it. So a long time, you know, but, and then I know nobody knows me really. I got probably some friends maybe watching, but like, I hate letting people down. I'm like so obsessed with like, I'll keep my mouth shut, but if it's something I'm passionate about or feel like I can contribute to, I feel the nudge to help. So like when it comes to card stuff, like I was happy to offer it to people after I worked on with it for years, because, you know, I figured I'm no dummy. I figured people would say, you'll never get a card graded. You made it look from this to this and you're never going to get it past grading. So you know how many cards I graded before ever showing any of this stuff to people? Tons. Did you mess up cards? I purposely mess up cards, Jeremy. I have to be able to push these cards to their limits till I know how long it takes to bust off, you know, a surface. How long does it take rubbing in a weird way? What are things amateurs or people that never had an experience doing that they could possibly do to make mistakes? So I push every card that was like ever created until, and then every time people get excited about new release dates, because they might probably want to get like a new player they like or something, I'm like, cool, new release dates. Now I got to get some more cards and like test them. You know what I mean? So it's an ongoing thing I love to do. So I'm always testing cards. And, you know, the final thing I think you asked me, Jeremy, was like, do you mess up a lot or does it require a lot of screwing up cards? Fortunately, no. You know, like, there are things that you can do wrong, and that's why I make the videos, because it would be easy to make a mistake. You gotta, you know, I can throw you the ball, but you gotta pick it up and run with it. You know what I mean? I can't look over your shoulder. And if you're buying tools and buying stuff like this, you have to take a few minutes to do some research and read, watch some videos. Even as soon as people buy from me, Jeremy, they get an email that tells them the do's and do nots, directions to my YouTube pages, to all my playlists. Like, I'm obsessed with making sure at least I put these information out in front of them, because it's super easy to screw up a card. There's totally different rules for TCG than there is for vintage or modern. So that's an absolute yes. So any card person that wants to prep cards or learn how to work on cards or just do cleanings and stuff like I do, you got to take some responsibility. You know, and that is by doing some homework, practice. But the great thing is, man, like when I worked on vehicles or instruments or things like that, like if I screw up a 1954 Les Paul, that sucks, you know. But if I had a bunch of base 1954 Les Pauls to work on beforehand, it'd be no sweat, you know. So that's the great thing about cards is before you work on an expensive Bowman Chrome with an autograph on it, just put a fake autograph on one and soak this one first, you know, see how it goes. You got to think a step ahead when you work in any type of restoration.
What sort of like, what outside of working in a body shop, a dealership, what sort of scientific credentials might you have to, you know, back up some of these, these products? Or is it simply just, you know, testing, trial and error and evolving that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my credentials are probably pretty solid, you know, based on what I've shared with you, like growing up in a home where you worked or your family would make all types of different, you know, cleaning products and stuff for vehicles. Like, you know, I didn't go to a classroom and get a diploma as a chemist or anything like that, because that's not important to me. But, you know, knowing how to build formulas and build compounds like this, and having a love for, like, not only do I like building formulas, like I've always been into like foods and flavors and, you know, music, and that's the stuff that you have to be very precise with. It's just my personality. So you know that. And then I don't think, you know, I'm sure there's others like me, but, you know, what's that cliche? You know, you put 10,000 hours into something, you got to put 10,000 hours in to be a master at something. I have more than 10,000 hours of this stuff. You know what I mean? So there could be guys that could way smarter than me, way better at working on cards than me. There's a whole huge world of people that work in the hobby on cards that I just might be the most recognizable one right now, but it's something that's been around for a long time. I'm just trying to make it not as intimidating and not, make it look like it's something you have to explain or be, uncomfortable about. I think it's a very important, legit thing that we need to know how to take care of these cards and preserve them in the hobby.
Yeah, it is somewhat of a divisive type of topic. I'm seeing it in the comments, and I'm not going to get to many comments tonight. There's just too many of them. But it is one of those things that some people are for it, some people are against it. You've got a lot of supporters, and you mentioned a lot. There's a lot of people that have been doing it since you've started your Instagram page, and since you have formalized the Kurtz Card Care business. Have you had a lot of or any other people who've been cleaning cards for the past any amount of time reach out to you and just pick your brain or encourage you or discourage you? What's it been like in terms of the response you've had from other people who've been doing this sort of thing for a long time? And, I'm kind of asking because I'm curious, just how prevalent this is out there.
It's huge. It's a huge market, you guys. I would say that it's, yeah, because there, I'll get, hot take. Like, I have great relationships with my customers, but then there, there's clearly people that are not into card care or don't think it's a good idea. And, it's fine. I mean, whatever, right? But there are a lot of people that are really good at card care and that did it like me, worked behind the scenes, did whatever they did to clean and prep cards, right? So like when I came out and started showing some stuff that I was doing, like with edges and corners and this, that, I did get people that were professional prep people to reach out to me and be like, hey man, why are you giving all the secrets away? Why are you showing people how to do this? Why are you doing that? And I'm like, I live in a, we can look at anything through a couple of lenses. One is scarcity lens, one's abundance lens. There's a million more cards and a million more collectors and I'm ever gonna be able to, we can't work on everybody's cards. So when I would tell card prep guys, I'd be like, listen, bringing more awareness to like a huge part of the hobby. People are all, not everybody's going to want to buy their own tools and work on it. People love to send their cards to a place and have them taken care of, So you guys are going to stay more busy. Hopefully I can bring more awareness to this and show people that we're trying to make a standard of what's acceptable of cleaning cards, And, I did get some heat from guys that were card prep people saying, don't show this off. Don't show these people. People that don't are all going to judge this. They, bunch of people that sit on a high horse and they're the same people that will shit on this are the same people that will show off all their PSA 10s that I fixed. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, you can't control everything, dude. And, as soon as you realize you're not the general manager of the universe, life gets a lot easier, So I said, forget it. The thing is, Jeremy, like when you know inside, when you believe in something and you know that like it's, nothing's easy. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this was just the thing of like something that I've always just been passionate about and wanted to do. And I believe in it. And it's been amazing, honestly.
I've had a couple questions come in that I want to, one of them I think is really interesting. And I can't put it on the screen. It's I don't know where that one came from either. Grading companies, have the grading companies reached out to you at all to ask sort of about what your product does or how to use it, or are they interested in using it? Have any of them tried to hire you by chance?
No, not at all. I like grading companies, smaller grading companies do, but I couldn't I don't even know people would know the names. You know what I mean? It's like, they're always like three letters. You know what I mean? So it's like, I've had people say, hey, I own a grading company or we're starting a grading company and we love your product or something like that. But like I've had, I can't really fact check any of this stuff because it's just Instagram, but I have people that will reach out to me that they'll say that I've had people reach out to me and say they work at PSA and that they see a lot of butchered and like screwed up altered cards. And they'll say, hey, we've always liked what you do and it's cool that, you can share, you know, that we even have jokes here. They worked in like receiving or something like that. They're like, we have jokes. We'll get a bunch of dirty cards. I'm like, they should have called Kurt, or, you know, and I'm like, if that's legit, that's cool. But I don't know if the grading, the thing was, and I, again, with all respect to grading companies, I didn't make Kurt's Card Care to like, really, I made it in compliance with grading. I didn't want to like teach people, you know, like I said, all the stuff that I find out of bounds, but there's a ton of people, Jeremy, don't even grade cards. You know, there's a lot of people just like to like clean them up and like display them and stuff like that. So I know a lot of people grade cards, but the grading companies never reached out to me. I think it wasn't even a conversation. I'm sorry, I don't know all the, I can't remember his name. What's the guy that operates PSA? The lead Nat. So like, I remember I got a message from him one time about, hey, how do you work? What do you do? I think it was like a upgrade. And he asked me like, what do you do here? And I explained to him it was a dirty front of the card, cleaned it down, wiped it down. And, you know, it was enough to get a regrade higher from your company. And, that was about it, but nothing like ever formal or anything. Like, no, they don't talk to me.
Do your products come with a warning, like keep out of reach from children?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's right on there.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious. Someone asked that, sort of something similar to that, in the comments. So listen, I know kind of what I've seen of Kurt's Card Care and yourself, you know, in preparing for this, we've met and, you know, spend some time together. So I have my perception of you and of Kurt's Card Care, but I want to know how you see things. So if you and I were old friends, if we knew each other from college, let's say, and I ran into you at the Starbucks, I said, Kurt, what's going on? What's the latest? How do you answer that? How do you see what's going on right now in your world with Kurt's Card Care?
Yeah, it's a fun time. It's an exciting time. I mean, because the thing was, I've always been... I didn't even like social media. I had to get a social media account for Kurt's Card Care. And like, so I went from a person that doesn't even like to deal with the internet to like having to deal with the internet like a lot, you know, but it's like, it's a good thing. But I tell you what, I literally answer questions all day, every day, about cards, and I hope I'm helping. But like, so if I ran, that's a good question though. So if I ran into a buddy, Jeremy, I had to say, remember how I always was like infatuated with cards? And they'd say, yeah. And I'd say, well, it's a whole new level now, man. I'm like, now, you know, the stuff that I always was making and working on and going garage sailing every weekend and testing out all these cards. Well, now I got customers all around the freaking world that buy the stuff off me. And I teach people how to, you know, I coach a lot of different entrepreneurs and small businesses now. And I've just been, I feel like I'm using my skills. You know, like if anybody out there watching this has ever had a job that you hate to admit, like you might be stuck in, and it's like, it sucks because you're like, you know, you have better skills, but you're just like, you got to stay with this and you just got to do it for whatever reasons. That got to me for a while. And I was like, I need to use my other skills. And so like, I would say, you know, I finally have been able to align myself professionally and personally with using things that I like to do. Even though my job is very busy and I work literally every day, it's a blessing and I'm happy to have it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And, you know, I appreciate that. It's nice to hear how you see it. I just want to address the chat, guys. I'm going to turn off the comments for myself. I'm going to be ignoring them because it's just too much for me to stay on top of. So with that, I'm now, and just so you know, Kurt, I'm going to ignore comments at least for the next, you know, part of the show, and just stick to the questions I have for you, because there's a lot of back and forth and I just can't keep up. So I'm not going to do that. You know, cleaning cards is something that some people like it, some people don't. I want to get into with you, you know, Where are the lines between cleaning a card, preserving a card, restoring a card, and altering a card? Can you just sort of take us through your thoughts on each of those different methods, and you know, how do you see them? Because we are in an interesting hobby here. You know, we are collecting cardboard. It comes in foils, and there's inks, and there's all sorts of different materials being involved, acetate and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, we like to say we collect pictures of men on cardboard for what it's worth. And we're very particular about it, Kurt. The hobby has been very particular about it. And we have these sort of rules in place, these norms, if you will, that are unwritten, but people are passionate about them. And I think there might be some confusion out there as to, you know, is cleaning, altering, is altering, restoring, where are these lines? And for yourself, like, how do you feel about card alteration? Do you consider card cleaning to be altering? Where are the lines? Altering, restoring, cleaning, and preservation. If you don't mind riffing off of that for a while, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, sure. I'll do my best for you. I think the simple part was I never put any effort or any thought into trimming a card to make it look centered. I don't know. It always seemed like it just doesn't seem right. You know, like I never was into that and I never even practiced it. I know that, you know, painting a card, like I'm okay with not being able to fix everything. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm okay with having a line of saying, yeah, that's permanent. You know, you ain't going to fix that. You know, it's not a fixable issue. But I've always been into returning a card to like closest to what it looked like, or hopefully just what it looked like when it came out of a pack. Because why would we buy these cards if we weren't excited about them? And how cool is it to have them like close to back fresh? You know, so I was always into that. Was my goal in mind. That was the big picture. How do you like do whatever you can? There's going to be some limits, but what can you do to like get most cards to look better? And here's the thing, Jeremy, like when you said there's a lot of unwritten rules are unwritten. You know what I'm saying? Like there, if sure, collectors are very passionate. That's obvious. But why, I don't think collectors really even made any, I think we can all agree on some, but there was never like a forum. I don't remember anybody like having a calling of a meeting of saying, hey, we ain't ever allowed to touch these cards. Like, I don't remember that. You know, I might've missed that one. Because now, if we're going to look to grading companies, the grading companies are the authority on restoration or cleaning cards. They got to cover their asses by saying you can't send us stuff that's like, you know, trimmed or cut or colored or whatever like that. And I think it's a broad brush. I think that I would hope that I'm showing grading companies that there are ways to safely take care of a card that doesn't screw it up or hurt it. And it's actually in a way where they grade the cards. So like these people are good. You know what I mean? Like if you try coloring cards or trimming cards and you're telling me that you're getting these cards graded, I'd say, well, A, that's very weird. I don't know why you'd want to even be doing that stuff. And number two, like, I just don't believe it. These companies are good. They're hired to like find this crap. So like back to your question, I've just never been into like destructing a card. Don't cut it. Don't color it. I don't know what else you could possibly do to it. You know what I mean? To alter it. That's like the big two in my mind. But I thought that there was such an open, like such a spot, like a void of like, but you're telling us as collectors that you can't ever like maintain them or like make them look nice again. When, you know, stuff that blows me away is like, it's most cards when you ask me, hey, do you ruin a lot of these things? And my answer was no, because there's only a few materials, like straight up paper cards or some foily cards. And once you learn the bases, you're kind of working with on the same stuff. So the thing is, when it comes to like cleaning up a card, by definition, if a card got like pizza sauce on it, that kind of altered it. You know what I mean? You're just wiping it. You know, so the word altered, I don't even think was really introduced until grading companies would mark a card altered, which I agree with them. Don't trim them. Don't color them. It's bush league. But if you can like thoughtfully sit down and clean up dirty cards that have been like mishandled or, you know, how kids and collectors treat cards and you love them and you get them and you save them and bring them back to life, I think that should be celebrated. You know, I think that I'm hoping that me and my customers and people that are really passionate about cards, one day at a time, take these steps to show people in the community, or if grading companies watch, that they can say, all right, you know, these collectors are onto something. And we look at these cards every day and they aren't ruined. They aren't messed up. There's nothing there. There's no makeup on them. They look good. What if we can take those proper steps to get card care, you know, some boundaries around it better? Because like you said, it was like an unwritten law, and unwritten laws aren't followed. You know what I mean? They're just enforced by people when it's convenient for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. I always think of alteration as, first of all, trimming, recoloring. You're either taking something away or you're adding something. And, you know, I'm certainly not for that. I'd rather not have cards like that in my collection. I once did have a card in my collection that was trimmed, and I got an email about it, and I was told to send it to PSA for review, and they reviewed and said, yes, it's trimmed. That was actually a counterfeit that I had, that was then I had it listed on PWCC, and one of their viewers or customers said, I think that card's fake. So PWCC reached out to me and said, hey, do you mind if we send your card to PSA for review? And they did. I said, of course, go for it. They did. And it came back as PSA then deemed it to be counterfeit. The second time they looked at it, and they took care of me. You know, their guarantee worked out well, and I was happy with that. But you know, trimming, recoloring, yeah, those are things that I certainly don't want cards in my collection that are like that. When we talk about cleaning a card, and I've seen some of your Wednesday night live videos you do on Instagram where you actually submerse your cards into your card cleaning solution, which I believe is your spray, mm-hmm. but you'll make a pool of it. You'll put the card in there, and you will also show how, look guys, the solution is turning a little yellow. We're seeing the dirt come out of the card. I was curious, like, and I've heard some people say, I don't know what's true, what isn't, but like, will stains that are removed with Kurt's Card Care, can they come back? And then I have the same thing about creases. When you use your tool and you are, you know, you're soaking a card, the creases are loosening up, and then you compress them and you try to get rid of or at least minimize these creases. Have you tested it over time to see, like, will stains come back? Will creases come back? You know, and I guess the big concern is kind of like, you know, Topps Chrome cards that go green over time, that hulking phenomenon, yeah. Where, or autographs in a slab that are graded a 10, they can easily fade over time. And now, you know, they've degraded in the slab. Can a card that is treated by Kurt's Card Care, and even with someone who's as good as using the tools as you are, submit a card, get it graded, let's say, or not, doesn't matter, the question still applies, and then have some of those defects or those you know, creases and stains reappear?
That's a thoughtful question, Jeremy. I would, so let's start. You said a stain or a wrinkle. So let's do, now a stain, stains are tough, but like, I would consider a stain like getting a stain out of a t-shirt, man. Like, if you get a stain out of a t-shirt, I don't think it's ever coming back, but sometimes you can just, like, if you have a big old ranch dressing stain, you might be able to, like, lighten it up. So I've never seen a stain. Like, it's either like, I don't know about a phantom stain. That would be a weird, unfortunately now, Jeremy, with kind of where I sit, and I have thousands of customers that I have a good relationship with, and I talk to a lot. If there's ever anything that's an inconsistency or something that pops up, you know, it's great, dude. I hear about it. And I'm a business owner that doesn't hide. You know, I talk to every single one of my customers want to talk to me. And so, like, I've never had a stain come back. I've never had any customers share that with me. But guys, I'll tell you what, if you're working on stains, especially on vintage cards, there's a good chance they all won't go away. You know what I mean? So I just want to give you a heads up. Some of those things are permanent, you know? And so just know that, you know, sometimes they won't go away, but I've never had it. Like, I just don't know how that would, it just doesn't make, scientifically, it wouldn't make sense. Like, if something was physically removed, how could it come back? You know what I mean? But Jeremy, here's a good thing. Why I don't use abrasive stuff, because, man, maybe because, you know, I don't know everybody's situation with card care or what they've tried or done, but if you used a polish that's like a sandpaper polish, like a Meguiar's or something like that, and you sanded down a surface real good on a card, you could probably get it to present real good. But now you cut the surface, you thinned out the surface real good, right? So then as time goes by, things could happen. I'm assuming that, right? So I do think, because if you exposed a whole new like layer of plastic and you thinned it out, yeah, that could be some sneaky thing. You know what I mean? That's why I imagine like if somebody sanded down the front of a card and then years go by and you get like a dull spot or something on it. Yeah, I imagine somebody could do that. But not by soaking a card. I've never had that. Wrinkles, kind of the same thing, man. Like wrinkles are tough. So it's like, and even with my pictures, I try to take the closest pictures I possibly can. And if you guys ever, like even right here, I'm sitting with cards, like I got some wrinkles out of this, but I still got a 4 on it. You know what I mean? So it's not like I'm like getting a card from like a 2 to a 9. Like I've never been, it's not even possible, I don't think, when it comes to vintage. But when it comes to wrinkles, sometimes like you can soak a card, you can dry it perfectly, but those damn things are just so embedded in the card. Say you had 8 of them, now you still have 3 of them left. Yeah, that's kind of part of the gig, you know. So I've always just been gone into the approach of this of, can I make a little improvement? I like the time spent. I like working on cards just like I like playing a guitar, you know what I mean? So it's just like something I like to do. So I have, but here's the good news, I rarely ever go backwards. Sometimes you can't do a damn thing, but it's usually not a risky thing when you have a little foundation. It's just sometimes they just don't all clean up the way you wish they all would, you know?
Yeah. I've seen some cards, like vintage cards from the 40s and 50s. Like you mentioned earlier, like it's kind of, for you, it's fun to get a card back to pack pulled state or as close as you can to it. I like my vintage to look vintage. I like my vintage to look its age. I think that adds character and fun to it. And one thing I don't like on a vintage card are borders that look like they're whiter than they could have been when they came out. And I don't know much about cleaning cards or altering or anything, but I've heard about bleaching cards before. And it's really a weird concept to me that people bleach a card to make it lighter, to get those borders looking fresher. Now, so here's a question for you. I have several questions, but what is the difference between bleaching a card and soaking a card in Kurt's Card Care solution? I'll start with that one. It might be a silly question, but I'm curious to hear what you say anyway.
Yeah, it's not a silly question. I just don't have like the best answer for you, Jeremy, because I would encourage anybody out there, bleach scares the hell out of me. So I would never, but again, there's so many collectors. There's probably a guy watching this right now going, you amateur, all you do is add 3 little drops of bleach to this, and then you shake the card up 10 times and it comes out white, and Kurt's teaching people how to do it, and it takes 5 days for those guys. I can do it in 10 minutes. I'm sure there's people that know how to do that type of stuff, man. Like, again, like my account, Jeremy, I have had been contacted by people that don't have a filter, and they're like from the dark side. You know what I mean? You know, there are some people that prey on freaking collectors and do some crazy stuff, you know? And it's just like, that's what the block button's for. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I know there's probably a lot of ways to get something to look a different way. But through my process, like I've just always used the card spray because I borrowed a lot of these disciplines from other paper restorations. Like if anybody's ever, and I don't expect people to probably watch like a lot of poster restorations or cardboard restorations or book restorations, but I love that stuff. I love it. I could watch video. That's why YouTube is so great. I could watch those shows all day long. So I've really borrowed a lot of paper care techniques from people that are like awesome at it. And you'd be surprised how many people you can reach out to that work at, that restore books, that restore documents, that you can just reach out and geek out with and be like, hey, I work on cards. Tell me what you're doing. What are you doing? And like, I just always, a lot of people are happy to tell you their stories and processes, you know? So I've learned a lot by talking to really, really smart people. So bleach would be a bad idea. So I don't care what you restore. Don't touch the bleach. No smart people ever told me about the bleach. All right.
I always wonder, how do you just keep it to the borders anyway? How do they keep the rest of the card, you know, free from touching the bleach, so you don't fade a like, key part of the like design?
Some cards, like when you clean, like some cards, like a 48 leaf, like when you clean up a 48 leaf, the borders come out pretty clean. But that's what they looked like. You know what I mean? That's what they looked like when they came out, you know? And it was, and none of this, Jeremy, required like any like scrubbing or pushing. Like I just let it set and rest and then get the moisture out of it and get it back in good looking shape.
Does a card that you soak in your solution after you're through that process, does the card, like, is there a way for a collector to look at a vintage card? And I'll use vintage because it's just simple cardboard, mm-hmm. and say that card went through Kurt's card care or was submersed in Kurt's card care spray. As a collector, can I be trained? Are there signs that I could look for?
That's a good question too. No, I don't think that it would look like, I think you would just like, I mean, maybe if you're a card prep person and you looked at it and go, all right, well, it's like a 4. I don't see any corner. I don't see any more room for improvements. Everything that's been improved looks like it's been improvable. I don't know. I don't think so. Because it just looks good. Like these cards clean up back to white pretty well. But then I'll work on a 33 Gaudi and it will just lighten up a little bit. But I would say not really. You know, I think the only in the before and afters. You know what I mean? Only when you see like what it looked like and then what it looks like now. Because, you know, really, like if you think about the materials of these cards, paper, they've been through seasons all year round for 50, 60, 70 years. They've literally soaked in so much of the environment that they're filthy, you know, unless you're one of those lucky guys that has like all PSA 9, 8s, 9s, and 10s in your vintage. Like those are, you're a rich, lucky person. You know what I mean? But, you know, I represent pretty much the blue collar crowd and the guys that, you know, aren't afraid to use their hands and brains.
You mentioned earlier that, you know, you reach out or you borrow techniques from other areas of ephemera. And, you know, it's always been curious to me, you know, and I've been collecting cards since 1980 and I love all cards. I love cards from 1888 to 2024 now. And I've been aware that, you know, we card collectors, and I'm saying we, the greater we, generally speaking, maybe or maybe not the majority anymore, I'm not sure, we kind of treat our hobby different than the way comic book collectors treat theirs or approach theirs, and book collectors, rare book collectors, because it seems like books and comics in those communities, it's everybody seems to accept, you know, restoration and even adding back paper to certain pages and that kind of thing, you know, fixing up the spine of the book. Do you have any idea why is it that the card collecting community is more fickle than other paper collectible communities like books and comics? Why are we so, not all of us, but why are some card collectors just like staunchly like, nope, I don't want my cards touched by human hands. I want them as I get them. And that's it. Any thoughts on that, Kurt?
That's a great question. You know, I wish I could ask that question to like a variety of people that like either like card care are in the middle or don't like it. You know what I mean? Cause like, that is a good point. But I think though, like in comics and in books, someone stepped up at one point that knew what they were talking about and dealt with the good, the bad, and the ugly and seen it through because they believed in it and they made it a standard. And as cheesy as that sounds, I feel that calling. I feel that like, I don't, and the thing is people want to, you know, talk shit to me and they've never even tried my product or used it, but they don't like the idea of it. The point is like, I'm fine with it. I'll take it. You know what I mean? I think that the market has spoke for itself. We went from like a small blip on the radar to there's a reason why so many collectors bond with me and connect with me all day, every day. There's a reason that people are ordering my stuff all over the world. And it's not just the narrative of, oh, it's just to clean a card and get a grade on it and sell it to somebody that doesn't know it's clean. Like that's a boring story. So the thing is, I think, Jeremy, that most people don't like something until it's popular. And, you know, I think that that goes for a lot of things. And I think that with all things said, I know that cleaning up cards of all things, where it's just, to me, it's just like it's a no-brainer. It's a fun pastime. It's a cool thing to do. I know that some people have a hard time with it, but I think that one day at a time, I'm happy to make videos, stay in my lane, show people how to work on cards, answer their questions. And I believe that all it takes is one person or a couple people to get it rolling. But that's why, man, I didn't want to be like, send all your cards to me. I'm like this like Wizard of Oz or whatever, you know, what it's, and then I'll just turn them all out. Screw that. I wanted to get everybody involved in the movement because I knew that if we could get thousands of collectors in on taking care of their cards and working on it, that's not just this one guy over here saying it. You know, it's let the market always speaks for itself. It yeah. always speaks for itself. And I don't try to control that. I just react. You know, I listen to my customers and do what they want. So like, I do think, man, like early in this call, you said James Beckett and Brian Gray are talking about it. Those are guys I used to talk about. Now they're talking about me. Like, we're making steps, man. We're making steps.
I think there's a lot of people talking about you lately, Kurt, especially since that, you know, and you mentioned that, you know, it's not something that was really out there. I've been aware of Kurt's card care for, I don't know, 12, 18 months, something like that, whatever it is, since you came across my radar. But it seems to have really, there seems to be so much more attention on Kurt's card care ever since that Victor Wembanyama card was and I don't know who's who in that video, but the owner of it at the PSA office or the collector's office basically shouted out Kurt's card care after they got a PSA 10 on the one of one Victor Wembanyama. I saw earlier when I was still looking at comments about half an hour ago, a couple of people asked, did you work on that Victor Wembanyama card? And I don't know if you didn't, but do you even like, do you know who those people were? Like what can you tell us about that? If anything?
Yeah, it was a big surprise. That's for sure. You know, and no, I didn't get to see the Victor one of one. It'd been a cool one though, man. I'm a fan of that guy. He's a good basketball player, dude. You know, I like him. I like him even more now. But they were just happy customers, man. You know, and you know, it was, and that's the thing. Like, all I can do is stay in my lane and focus on me. But like, the thing is, you guys, like, as collectors, we're very trustworthy people. We're loyal. We stick to our brands. I mean, I guess we don't got a lot of options. But like, basketball cards get more expensive every year. Quality goes down every year, and I can't be told different. That's just the way it is. And then, like, I remember when you get a card graded for like, what, $10 or $14 or something like that, and now there's grading companies get value-based grading. So there's probably an incentive to get a higher score on there and get a higher bill. You know what I mean? And it's like, and then again, the unwritten rule of we're just supposed to sit around and like look at cards and just accept them as they are. I don't think so. Don't cut them. Don't clean them. You have every right to, or don't cut them and don't color them. You have every right to clean the fronts and backs. I made my stuff specifically for plastics, specifically for papers. Like, I tell you guys, it's thought out. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, the Victor Wembanyama and stuff like that. I was definitely surprised because, you know, the thing is, I don't have any problem with PSA. I don't have any problem with, I don't know. Like, we just don't, I was surprised like the rest of the world when I saw it.
What has happened since then to your business? Did that blow up the business? Was it just a marginal impact for a couple of days, or was that a big deal for the business?
Yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, you know, we got some more orders. That's for sure. A lot of questions. A lot of, yeah, it's, I'll tell you, man, it's weird. Like I said, I was never even really a part of the internet, and I can go to a place in public and be quiet and not say a word. Then all of a sudden you go on the internet, it's like my company's name is everywhere. And it was like, so a lot of happiness, a lot of support, a lot of people talking shit and hate and stuff like that. I'm like, God, all this over cards. But I keep my big picture. I'm like, one day at a time, I'll deal with all this, because I get tons of love and tons of respect from my customers. So it's like, if trolls don't like me or want to talk crap, like, whatever, you know what I mean? But a customer liked me enough to go into the PSA headquarters, get $1 million card grade, and give me a shout out. Yeah, thanks. I'll take it, because that's how good it sometimes feels to have a little control of your collectibles. That's the epitome of it right there.
you've referred to your customers several times. I'm curious, what sort of, and I don't know if you track this, but what sort of reorder rate do you have? How many customers do you have are regular customers versus one time?
That's a great question. And I'm very, very dialed into everything, every metric like that, as you could probably tell about me. So it's at an all-time high, which is my favorite number. With monthly now, we're over 25% of our orders are from previous customers. So I worked in music and entertainment like my whole life. And it was like gig after gig after gig. You know, sometimes you do multiple gigs for the same firm, group, family, whatever. But it was like once you're in and out. It is so incredible, I'll tell you, to anybody out there that has this situation, to have a company where you have repeat customers and people that stick with you and stay with you. It's like I'm very thankful for that. So those of you that are seeing this, you know who you are, you know, and it's just like the guys that spend a lot of time talking with me, strategizing with me. My customers push me to be a better card man. You know, that's I can't let these people down, you know, so it's a special thing.
Well, 25%. So does that mean that are you losing 75% of your order of your customers? Are they buying once or you just haven't seen them yet again?
No, it's like, it's actually a lot of new customers, but that's a huge number, Jeremy, compared to like, the thing is, you can be a customer of Kurt's Card Care. This thing, you could be, have this for probably a year before you need to reorder. I hook it up, you know? So like, yeah, you can do probably 200 and some cards out of one can of polish. So, you know, if I wanted to make them little and stuff like that, where every people buying off me every 5 days, that's annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I for sure. You want to work, you know,
I love my customers. I'm a collector, man. Like, it's very valuable to have customers you like, because that's another thing I'll say about like entertainment. I didn't really have to like the customers. We just had to show up and rock the place, you know, but when it came to your card customers and it's something I'm very passionate about, it's very, very important to me to have good rapport and good communication and being accessible to them.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the repercussions of people using Kurt's Card Care or any card care, card cleaning, card prep service is that I think it is effectively increasing the populations of higher graded cards. A card that was once a 4 might now be a 6. 8s might become 10s, 7s, 9s, 9s, 10s, etc., etc. What do you think of? I've seen some narrative that suggests that is sort of not a great thing for people who hold those cards in those upper grades, because the populations are going to grow over time because people are cleaning their cards. What do you think about that mindset that some people out there are employing?
I think that's a mindset of scarcity, and I just don't buy it. You know, like, it's the only people that would celebrate a low pop count would be the person that has one, you know, but you got a card in front of you that's an 8 with, you know, marinara sauce on it from 1979. And now you ought to wipe it off. And now you should, you know, like, go ahead and do it. I live in abundance. I don't think that's you know how these how bastardized these pop counts are already, Jeremy. You know that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, it's,
yeah.
If it's a 10, it's a 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's a hot card and you're worried about selling it, somebody's going to buy it.
Yeah. You're probably right about that. I mean, you know, there are cards that are of such low pop that one more card to the population could impact the value of the other cards in the population, like an Opeachy Gretzky rookie. There's only 2 Opeachy PSA 10s. If a third one was introduced, that could impact the other 2. But is a situation like that a concern to you?
No.
Because you live in abundance.
I just don't. I mean, the thing is, like, now I get all the credit or all the not credit for that. Like, what about the human element of the dude grading the card? You know?
Right.
Like, what you guys can watch my channel. I'll break out 8s and 9s and do not a damn thing to them and send them back in and they get a 10. So like, is that my problem? Or is it the company that I pay to grade the cards?
Yeah, I think, and that's just the nature of grading, human grading. It kind of is what it is. I think most hobbyists recognize that, and we, you know, you just sort of proceed accordingly.
I'll tell you this. It's not a commercial for my company when I tell you this, but if you have a PSA 6 or 7 Gretzky rookie, I don't care if you soak it or do whatever, you're not going to turn it into a 10. you got too many technical demerits on it before. You know, like we geek out on, man. Like, so people, the dudes holding their 9s and 10s, they don't need to worry. It's going to be okay, guys. Here's what me and my hardworking crew does. We like buying 1s, 1.5s, 2s, spending some good time doing this stuff, enjoying ourselves, learning about the players. You know, learning how to do a new trade or a new craft, you know, that's what we're into. So if anybody's worried about seeing a bunch of new fours in the marketplace, sorry, but you know, the more people get into cleaning up older cards, that's probably going to, you're gonna see more threes and fours than, you know, nines or tens.
So card cleaning has been all the rage, especially since the Victor Wembanyama episode back in February. But I wanted to ask you your thoughts on another video that came out a while back now that did kind of shake the hobby, and that was when Evan Mathis showed on TikTok, I believe, how he goes about trimming cards. And so I'm curious, did you see that? Were you aware of that? Yeah. And what was your reaction to that, him doing it, and how do you feel about what he does to cards and how he, you know, it seemed like was trying to normalize it a little bit. What was your reaction to your internal reaction to that event?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I do remember that, Jeremy. And like, I guess, you know, from a business perspective, I was happy that he made the video. I don't know him, and I pass no judgment on the guy. I don't know him, you know, but I mean, but here's what I can tell you, because people have no problem telling you how they feel about card stuff. I don't like the hustle. I don't like trimming cards. And even if it's like, you know, I think the thing was he made it like technical, like, you know, this card's big anyway, so it doesn't hurt to trim it down, you know, because it's still going to fit in this normal size. I just don't like it. You know what it was? I thought it was the exact opposite of what, because when people don't know much about my company or, you know, pick up 3 or 4 bits of data, then they think they know the whole damn picture. I think that they think that's what I'm cool with or what I'm into. And when that came out, I think it was a really good boundary setter, because I was like, I am exactly not those things. So if you watch that, and you know what? I'm open to saying I didn't like it. That's not what I would suggest doing to any card. But that guy was good, right? That guy knew what he was doing. And think about it. Someone taught him that, because wasn't he, you said, a professional athlete?
I believe, yeah, he played in the NFL.
So, dude, talk about how hard it is to be in the NFL. So then to be, you know, he trained his whole life doing it, being a football player. So like, he had to train to learn how to do this. So that's just a good representation to all the collectors out there, that there's tons of people that wake up and do this all day, every day. You know what I mean? So it's like, it sucks that that happens. And it sucks that people trim vintage cards, because, you know, I'm cool with an off-centered vintage card. I like to make it a little bit cleaner. You know what I mean? But, you know, I liked it because it was something I could point to at least and say, hey, there's a lot of things you can do to a card. I know it can all be confusing when you're starting to learn about it, especially if you've never prepped cards or cleaned cards. But basically what this dude's doing, I'm not going in those lanes. I'm like sticking over here, you know? So like, since I've been, and me and you, Jeremy, got to talk a little bit, like there's definitely a dark side of the hobby. You know, and I felt like, you know, that of people that counterfeit cards, trim cards, fake autos, all this stuff, you know, and I just felt like if we never step up and like show card care, what I feel, in a clean, safe, normal, ethical way, that it's just always going to be clumped in with that stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's a reasonable sort of, you know, perception to have. And I'm wondering, you know, when and if the majority of the hobby will see the separation between those two types of activities, what you just referred to as ethical cleaning and treatment of cards versus what would be unethical trimming, recoloring, counterfeiting, you know, fake autos and all that. So, yeah, I kind of wonder if that'll ever happen. And, you know, I don't have a I was going to say, I don't have a horse in the race, but I have a collection of cards. So I guess to an extent I do. And I mean, I'm certain that among my approximately 500 slabbed cards in my collection, I'm certain I have trimmed ones in there that got past the graders. I wonder if I have any counterfeits still. I know I used to have one because I was alerted to it and, right. And you know, sent it back for that review. But, you know, I just wonder if the if our hobby will ever go the way of comic books and, you know, rare regular books, to where cleaning is completely normalized and accepted by even the staunchest detractors from it right now. I don't think that'll ever happen because, you know, some people are so mm-hmm. set in their ways, and you know, that's fine. I think we're all entitled to the way we approach this hobby and what is acceptable versus what is not acceptable to us. But yeah, I do still wonder, you know, if this card cleaning movement that you're the poster boy of, you're the face of it right now, like it or not, Kurt, you're the face of it right now. You know, how deep is it going to go? You know, do you have any feel for that?
Yeah, I think it's a big responsibility, Jeremy. And like, I want people to know that, again, whether you dig it or don't, or you're in the middle, like, I take this super seriously. And, you know, it's like, I take it really seriously. I love cards. You know, we all dealt with it probably. If you're still alive, watching this show, you've been through some seasons, you've dealt with some shit. Like, I've always hugged on to cards because I don't know, they just took me to a different place, you know, and like, I love them. Right. And I know that other guys, we could get 40 collectors in a room and we could all collect for 40 different reasons. And that's one of the most beautiful things about like collecting whatever you collect, you know? So like, I don't expect Jeremy to ever, there's no company or no politician or no band or no athlete that everybody likes. There's no such freaking thing. So I'm not aiming for that. I'm aiming for, and I'll tell you, man, we're on the doorstep of this. Like, the market has spoke. Like, we are a busy, busy business, and people are cleaning their cards. Like, I've even have guys that are now working with hobby shops where they've made positions where they're working on cards for people that, you know, and I've been coaching guys up that are taking on customers now. So the thing is, guys, it's here. The market is asking for help and advice and ways to preserve and repair and clean their cards. And I take that as I'm proud to be a part of it.
Who are some of your best customer, biggest customers? Like, do you have customers who are group submitters, are mostly private collectors, grading companies, manufacturers? Like, can you, you know, without violating any privacy sort of thing, can you give us an idea, well, maybe on a no names basis, of sort of like, you know, who are some of your best and biggest customers?
The best and biggest customers are the 80% of guys that have regular jobs, probably love to come home and work on some cards. Like my number one customer is the average collector that loves to collect cards, submits a handful here and there, loves kind of, you know, wax, you know, going through all the old wax and stuff like that. Like, that would be like the meat and potatoes. My orders are single guys. Now, more and more local card shops and vendors reach out to me. So I would say that we're helping supply guys that sell at shows, trade shows, and at their local card shop owners. Now we're picking up more retail business all over the country and over the world. We have retailers now in Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, Singapore, Australia, Japan. I'm even have collectors that will get my videos and translate them into like Mandarin for their customers. It blows me away, dude. It blows me away. And like, it's a wonder. It's, again, like earlier when I said, I feel that I get to use like multiple skills and stuff in a day. It's funny that it's all based around sports cards. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saving lives over here, but I'm maybe helping people have a little bit more fun. And like, that's priceless. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, that's, so my average, my normal customer is, a guy that probably has a similar story to me, like always liked cards, couldn't go out and buy all the most expensive ones, but just likes the player more than the grade, but also would like to know how to, like, hey, can I make it look a little bit better? It makes me feel good. I'm a hands-on type person. So that'd be kind of like the breakdown.
Yeah, no, interesting. LCSs are now selling your product on there with their other card accessories. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
yeah. So like that's a big part of the business. And then yeah, it's wild, man. It's really cool to see that how many, because I would go around talking to collectors before in my teens, 20s, 30s, talking to them, hey, do you have any steps you do to prep your cards or anything like that? And most people look at me like I was asking them if they had, like, if they were selling cards I never heard of or something like that. They're like, huh, what? And like now it's like I get pictures every day of people's taking pictures of their workshops and like their setups and their toolboxes and all stuff, and it just blows me away. I'm like, this is all stuff I sat and did forever, and now all these people all over the internet are showing me their little setups that look just like mine, and it's fun. It's cool to see. It's inspiring.